Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trumpet presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, Long, you're a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Piper, Kyle Doss, Jay Lehman.
Familiar faces.
Jay.
I could hardly take it.
I'm not doing well today.
Wow, boys.
I'm not.
It's been tough. What can I tell you? For 20 games, we've been competitive, and that one felt like not since the Wisconsin game in 2021 have I felt the feeling of Kansas, Illinois on Friday night.
Mm. Unfortunately, it followed it up. For those that, like me, if you have a rooting interest in the Illini and then your Sundays are the Chicago Bears, for 30 years I've seen what I saw on Sunday in the Chicago Bears Packers game. So
we thought it'd be different with Jordan Love. But
we did.
What's up with the tight ends taking sneaks? I mean, Cole Kmet took a sneak. Griffin Moore took a sneak. I mean, come on. Like, it's gotten so cute that I'm just like, come on, guys. Can we just get behind somebody to a bush push?
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting really right. Detailed early on. But those games, I just was like, man, the tight end sneak on both of our teams, right?
Yes.
I'm fired up today, so I'm happy that we're here.
No, we're always happy to have you. And I apologize for starting in that fashion. And
that's
I need
right.
to shake my depression. I was going to say that football is the sport of broken dreams. That was what I was going to lead in with, but I had to get that out there. Illinois, Kansas, we'll focus mostly on that today. We'll have plenty of time to recap the weekend that was sure. in the NFL. Kyle's in a good mood because his Dolphins pulled out a really exciting win against the Chargers. His quarterback throws for 466 yards, and all's pretty good in Kyle's
except
world.
Except that Tua hasn't gotten paid yet. Herbert got paid, but Tua hasn't gotten paid.
It's true. But let's recap Friday. Illinois goes into Lawrence. They lose in pretty convincing fashion, and it was a game that got out of hand. It was 34-7 late there in that third quarter, and Illinois was not competitive in a primetime spot. A lot of eyes on that game, ESPN2. A lot of hope that Illinois could win in the trenches when you knew there was a talented quarterback sure. on the other side. But let's start defensively as we move along. There are different ways to attack this thing, but, you know, I think one thing that Brett Bielema spoke about, one thing that, you know, Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner writing about it hit on is last year Illinois had the best defense in the country scoring defense-wise. Now that you're a long ways off from that.
I would say so. I don't think we gave up 400 yards one time last year. We've given it up twice in the first two games. The most alarming statistic for this game, though, for me, Pipes, is 20 plays of at least 10 yards or more. For some elite defenses, that's a season's worth. We saw that given up in one game. And quite frankly, schematically, Lance Leipold and whoever their offensive coordinator is, I don't have his name right now, really schemed up our back end and linebackers in that first quarter. Got them in man coverage, ran some wheel routes. That key third down early in the game, the running back just beat Tariq Barnes to the edge, right? You saw they tried to go over the top on Rosiak, threw a touchdown on Tariq Barnes, got on the pick route, right? So our linebackers got a little bit exposed. Our defensive backs got a little bit exposed. At the same time, we're asking them to cover for 4 or 5 seconds. That's really difficult. We're unable to play the same style and man coverage that we played last year for good reasons. 3 picks in the first 70 picks, right? I mean, that's a reason those guys were able to play that. We're in rebuilding mode defensively, and it shows, right? I mean, we certainly, I think part of it's scheme. I think part of it's we don't have the guys back there. I will say this. We'll talk more about it. I thought Johnny Newton played really well. But it can't be Johnny Newton chasing around Jalen Daniels. Like, the play that epitomized this whole thing, Pipes, was Jalen Daniels probably at their own 4. Johnny Newton breaks through, literally runs around in a circle to get Jalen Daniels. No one else is putting pressure on him. And Jalen Daniels completes like a 30-yard pass down to like the 35, right? Johnny Newton, if that was a pro-style quarterback, he'd probably have 4 sacks. He's very active for an interior defensive line. That makes him special. So he played well. I saw Keith Randolph give a great effort, so I thought he was giving great effort. But overall, defensively, they did not play well. They didn't read well. They didn't cover well. They didn't tackle well. And the thing that bothers me the most is it seems like we want to have this tough guy, chippy image, which we had last year during the plays. This year, it seems like after the plays, we want to show we're tough.
Yep.
And we have so many dumb penalties, it's just maddening. So, anyway, that was a long monologue.
I mean, a lot is right, obviously, in there, and the different ways to highlight different key areas. I do want to talk about the penalties as we go along. Jalen Daniels, you got to give him his credit. I think a lot of fans, and we even, when we were breaking down this game going into it, knew that he was one of the top quarterbacks out there in the country. When healthy, he was healthy enough to have a really nice game for the Jayhawks. I mean, he's got weapons to utilize. He's dynamic. He made some big plays with his feet. Like when Johnny Newton's coming free, right, around the goal line, he just jukes him and makes a 30-yard throw.
He's a football player.
It's a big-time throw. What's the most jarring is Illinois getting gashed on the ground. Like 262 yards in terms of rushing for Kansas, 6 yards per carry. This is a team last year that was top 10 in the country in rush defense, only giving up 3.3. Sidney Brown's a guy that played really well in the box. Is how much is he being missed in the run game, and what else do you think outside of that is different between what we've seen so far this year and then last year?
Well, I think it's fair to say, guys, that it's not just the front seven in the run game. I mean, the safeties do fill a lot, like, you know, Clayton Bush or Xavier Scott or Miles Scott. They've got to fill in the run game. What was unique about Sidney is he had the speed to cover anybody deep, but also was physical in the box. So I think that plays into it. But there's a lot of third and shorts. There was a lot of schematic things, larger B gaps, like the gap between the tackle and the guard, larger A gaps, the gap between the guard and the center, that they did schematically, that when they did the zone read, they were doing it off of Johnny Newton. They were doing it off of Keith Randolph rather than defensive end. Made just schematically little changes. And quite frankly, at the point of attack, we got pushed around. You don't give up 262 without getting pushed around. And this is why I said I wasn't worried after the loss against Indiana last year, because we didn't get pushed around up front. We've gotten pushed around the last 2 games, and it's not just the front 4, front 5, if sometimes we have 5 down linemen, not just the linebackers, it's also the defensive backs a bit. I felt like, honestly, it felt like Velcro on our guys when our linebackers or our DBs got blocked by a receiver or tight end in space. It felt like Velcro. They could not get off blocks. I saw a lot of guys not being able to disengage, and that's the fundamental stuff I think Brett Bielema was talking about, getting off of blocks, reading your keys, being in proper leverage and man coverage, taking the proper angles, containing the quarterback, not trying to crash down where somebody can reverse out. Those are things that I'm concerned about as well. Do I think schematically we can change some stuff up? Yes, but those are the bigger issues.
Before I let Kyle jump in here to ask you a couple of questions, I do want to highlight that, because you've heard both Brett Bielema and Aaron Henry say pretty much everything's on the table in terms of evaluation and scheme is part of that. Is there anything that jumps out to you of what that could look like in terms of tweaks with the scheme, and what has the scheme looked like so far and what maybe could be different?
Well, I think this, I think we got to find a way to manufacture pressure on the quarterback. We have not had the pressure that we were accustomed to last year. We were able to get pressure by rushing, you know, 4 or 5 people last year. We were only sixth in the Big Ten in sacks, but we had a ton of pressures, right? And we led the nation interceptions, so we were affecting the quarterback. I don't feel like we're affecting the quarterback at the level we need to create turnovers and negative plays. I think we've got to manufacture pressure with blitzes. I think we've got to play some more games up front because I think Gabe Akis and Seth Coleman are more athletic than they are just bull rushers. Although Gabe is a man child, I feel like he has a strength of being able to be mobile. I think we've got to mix up our front. I think we're not the biggest front. We're certainly a very athletic front, I would say, right? And if we have athletic front, let's use more movement. Let's get pressure on the quarterback. Are we going to give up some plays? Yes. But I'd rather have the ball out in 3 seconds than 5 seconds and him going to his third or fourth option and hitting a pass down the field.
I'm curious specifically about the linebackers because as a former linebacker yourself, sure. I'm sure you have plenty of thoughts on it. But Kansas just attacked Illinois' linebackers early in that game, and they really got exposed both through the air and in the run game. What do you think those guys, particularly the inside backers that they were exposing, what do they need to do better? Is it a scheme thing where they're being put in tough spots?
Sure.
Or is it just simply they have to play better?
Well, I think one thing is Tariq Barnes has a lot of experience. Dylan Rosiak doesn't have a ton of experience, right? Odaluga doesn't have a ton of experience playing off the ball, largely a blitzer last year, right? Mead doesn't have a ton of experience. So we're inexperienced. And what I saw that was, hey, when you run that zone read scheme with pulling guards, which is what Illinois football did with Mike Locksley, with Juice Williams and Rasharman, it can be a very tricky scheme, right? I mean, the reason we went at Ohio State, be the number one team, is they couldn't read who had the ball, where the ball was going. There's lots of different pullers. If you don't know how to read linemen, I saw linemen pulling all around on the counter play, on the goal line, on a third down play. I didn't feel like the linebackers were reading the linemen correctly. Therefore, they were out of position, unable to get into the correct gaps, okay, and unable to disengage from a block because they took improper steps and reads. So that's in the run game. Number two, I thought we had really tough matchups, and credit to Lance Leipold, in the pass coverage on their backs and number two or three receivers, right? They made our linebackers cover in man coverage, and largely we didn't do great. Rosiak had one time when he ran with the guy well and forced an incompletion, but largely early on, it looked like they were targeting the linebackers, like you said, six or seven routes, that was the number one option for Jalen Daniels, right? I thought Jalen Daniels was supposed to be hurt coming in, so much for that.
Brian weighs in on the U of I Line League text line. We welcome anybody to give their thoughts on what they saw Friday night and any questions they have for Jay, 217-359-2255. Once again, on the U of I Line League text line, Brian says, the first quarter, I was wondering if Aaron Henry accidentally picked up an old Lovie Smith defensive playbook.
Well, it certainly looked like the same product on the field. Were they running the same plays? No, but did we have 2021 Virginia vibes and Brennan Armstrong? Do I have 2020 Graham Mertz vibes? It's like, we think these quarterbacks are just amazing. Graham Mertz has been average. Brennan Armstrong had to transfer. And Jalen Daniels is good. He's a preseason player of the year, I think, offensively in the Big 12 Conference, which is a loaded offensive conference. But at the same time, he plays for Kansas. His O-line's not that special. And certainly their defense isn't that special. This is Kansas, right? This isn't Kansas basketball. This is Kansas football, guys. This is not a juggernaut. And certainly a team, if you want to take the next step, we should be able to beat.
Let me ask you a question that, look, fans are talking a lot about Aaron Henry right now. It's hard to follow up what the Illini did last year when you have three high draft picks in that secondary. Ryan Walters deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to do in molding that defense and whatnot. But people want to know, hey, Jim Leonard's on the staff. Is there any pressure in the coming weeks if Illinois doesn't improve to try to make that change? And I don't think that's going to happen, but how much heat is under Aaron Henry to fix this quickly, and how much is he to blame for this early?
Great question. Someone at the press conference asked today to Brett, hey, is Aaron Henry going to keep calling the plays? Roughly, I'm paraphrasing here, and Brett said that might be the most ridiculous question you've ever asked me. Unequivocally, yes, he will keep on calling the plays. And so, look, Aaron Henry is a first-year defensive coordinator coming off a historic season for the Illini. I don't know if the Illini have ever historically had that kind of numbers. Even in the early 90s, I'm not sure they had those kind of numbers, number one scoring defense and everything that they did. So there's only one way for the defense to go, which was down. And so I think we expected to drop off. I don't think we expected this kind of drop off and the way it's been done with getting run over up front, right? And so, listen, this is a business that demands results, major college football. And if you're not getting results as a player or a coach, yes, you're going to feel some heat. Now, what's great is that Brett Bielema is going to say, I've taken ownership for this. There's no way I'm not letting him call the plays. He's the guy for us. That's fine. We're only two games into the season. We knew there would be some adjustments, right? And so I don't think there's heat as far as in that building at all. Do I think that fans are restless because they're accustomed to seeing a shutdown D? Yes.
For sure, for sure. And Jay, there are different ways in terms of the micro to do this, but before we catch a break, I want to get your thoughts kind of macro on this, because after week two last year, I guess maybe it technically was week one, it was the second game when they played Indiana.
Sure.
They lost that game in frustrating fashion. You came in here and said, don't worry, guys, I'm in good spirits. I think this team's going to win the West, and you were almost spot on. They had it in their grasp until the last couple of games. Big picture, how do you feel about this team right now? I have a hard time not sitting there and saying maybe the Kool-Aid was a little too strong this offseason. Maybe
100% it was spiked. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just too strong. I mean, Kool-Aid too strong is like my mom put an extra packet in it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was spiked Kool-Aid. Yes. I mean, it was like jungle juice in a trash can at a frat party on First Street, right? I mean, that's
Kyle
what it
wouldn't
was.
Know anything about that.
That's what it was. I mean, let's be real. I mean, we have expectations of possibly 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I think those expectations are, if not burnt out, I mean, smoldering at this point, right?
Yes.
I mean, because do I think Illinois has talented players? Yes, but the way they're playing right now, defensively and offensively, special teams, I'd say, has been playing solid. I want to give Hugh Robertson a shout out. Caleb Griffin's been very, very solid. I do not see that happening at all, you know? And so I'm disappointed about it. One thing I'm not disappointed, though, is our sponsors.
Yes.
Iroquois Federal, they make this happen, guys. They are the one-stop shop for all your Linden needs in Champaign County. They're located in Savoy off of Neal Street, off of Windsor in Champaign. And if you're looking for a lender, talk to Mark Mahill. Bob Guido's helped me with more loans than I can count as a commercial lender with clients and also apartments or business loans, business line of credits, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane. They've got competitive interest rates, great service, and they are the place to go for all your lending needs. When you get a loan, usually you need insurance. How about IPG Insurance? Kyle Lewis, my man. You got to email Kyle. That's Kyle@IPGINS.com. Kyle@IPGINS.com. You need home, auto, health, life. He is your guy for all your insurance needs. He's my personal agent. I use Kyle Lewis for all my insurance needs. And, of course, the Long Branch Steakhouse. Donnie open from 5 to 9 Wednesday through Saturday. I always say I love the fried pickles. Get yourself some fried pickles along with the steak. There you go.
I think I'd feel better if I went and had one of Donnie's steaks. That might help saturate some of the negative feelings that are permeating through me right now.
Go get a win on Saturday, then go get a big old tomahawk ribeye from Donnie, right, on Saturday night. That would be huge. Unfortunately, it seems like the luster has been taken off this game. Big Noon switches it to Colorado again. No more Big Noon kickoff. It's like, okay, Illinois is, in everybody else's eyes, Illinois is what we thought they were,
yes.
Basically. It's to quote Dennis Green, and the luster's kind of come off a little bit. Now, do I believe that Brett has a plan? Absolutely. It's one game. Do I believe that Brett can get this right? Yes, absolutely. Do we got a lot of stuff to clean up? Yes, we do.
We're going to talk more about this after the break. I'll hit on Luke Altmyer. I think he's still something that is a decent bright spot for Illinois through the first two games. Illinois' chances of pulling off a shocking upset on Saturday against Penn State, what Illinois needs to worry about with the Nittany Lions, and more with Jay Layman. We're happy to have him here. On a Monday, it is the Jay Layman Hour. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
Hey, Class A CDL drivers. Gale Ferrix Trucking wants to invite you to join our team and get a taste of what it's like to work with a team that cares about you, your home time, and your professional growth, as well as your paycheck. This is Operations Manager Donna Onstott inviting you to join us as we continue building the company you would have started if you knew then what you know now. Gale Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. Our drivers are pre-dispatched, make a guaranteed minimum gross pay of $1,200 per week, have paid vacations and benefits, and are home every weekend and sometimes during the week for quality family time. Our openings are limited, so don't miss your opportunity with the top-paying trucking company in the area, Gale Frerichs Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. The days are getting longer, and our customers are booking us up with freight. Gale Frerichs Trucking, 765-793-7131, or email timo@gftlog.com.
Join the Urbana Park District for the 25th anniversary of the Wandell Sculpture Garden on September 15th at Meadowbrook Park. The fun starts at 3:30 with refreshments, followed by the rededication ceremony. At 5 o'clock, there's a walk through the sculpture garden. Listen to great jazz music at various stations along the way. The Wandell Sculpture Garden, a local jewel in public art. September 15th in Meadowbrook Park. Visit urbanaparks.org.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. Busey Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Welcome to Sarah Champaign, home of their award-winning Honda dealership, a double recipient of the prestigious Honda President's Award. With a legacy of excellence, they offer you the finest selection of Honda vehicles backed by unparalleled customer service. As a two-time winner, they're committed to exceeding your expectations. Visit them today at Route 45 at Burwash or Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com. Sarah Champaign, home of Honda, BMW, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. That's SarahChampaign.com.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Let's talk more football with Jay Lehman coming up. But first, let me tell you about Busey. Before you and your significant other walk down the aisle, Busey suggests setting up solid financial footing. Will you and your spouse-to-be keep finances separate or combined? Consider individual spending and saving habits. Making this decision together will help you find a system that works. Couples that tackle money problems together and take responsibility for solving them will find their relationship is better for it. Share credit. Let your spouse be... To be know your credit situation and vice versa. Marrying a person with bad credit will not drag down your credit score, but their credit will be factored into when you are applying for joint financing. Cupid's Arrow, develop a plan to shoot down existing debt, starting with the balances that carry high interest rates. Sweet savings, decide how much you want to save as a couple, withdraw the funds automatically from your paychecks. Busey is happy to help its customers with this. You can check out one of their convenient locations or visit them online at Busey.com. Again, that's Busey.com. Can even go online and schedule your appointment there and then go see someone in person. Busey, member FDIC. Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Jay Lehman in studio with us as he is every Monday. Jay, let's talk offense here. It's been frustrating. We talked about the point of attack, the line of scrimmage on defense. On offense, we thought this could be, especially in the first two games, Toledo, a MAC squad, no discredit to them, but you usually think a Big Ten, Brett Bielema type of program, beats them up front, runs the football, and imposes their will that way. Kansas was one of the worst run defenses in the country last year, but Illinois was not able to just run it down their throat this game. Why?
Great question. First off, I think it's funny we've anointed Toledo MAC champs already. I mean, they're MAC champs. You know, they're going to run the table. They're going to be 11-1. Like, we don't know that of number one.
I guess they won the MAC championship game last year, so maybe that's why it carries over this year.
I mean, I think we're just trying to make ourselves feel better about that win. But I would say this. I think we had some times where we ran the ball effective, but we start so slow. We're almost playing catch-up all the time. We're having bad first down plays. So then we get in second and long. We don't get a lot of second and medium, second and short, in which it could be a run or pass, and then the play action comes in, right? And so on our pass plays, there looks like there's no separation because everybody knows it's pass. And we're not protecting great, okay? We're not giving Luke the time he needs. But on the run plays, we're simply not getting the push that we want up front on a consistent manner. When we gave carries to Reggie Love, I mean, he made some plays and made some decent runs, but it's like we're so far behind, we cannot actually see what Barry Lunny's real game plan is to mix, match, to control the football, because we've started so slow in these football games, had to play catch-up, and it's just brutal.
You look at the stat lines, Reggie Love, 8 carries, 45 yards. I mean, that's 5.5 yards a carry. Josh McCray, 4 carries, 20 yards. But really, the volume there in a game that you'd expect Illinois to try to – you heard so much about controlling tempo and trying to keep Jalen Daniels off the field, run the football. Like 12 attempts between those two guys is not a winning formula for Illinois. Luke Altmaier did get it going on the ground, 70 yards, had the long 72-yard scamper. He also had another touchdown there in the red zone. Let's give a little bit of a bright spot there, because that's something that if you're in the dumps about the defense or the offensive line, we'll talk more about what needs to change up front, but – Luke Altmaier's shown some flashes of, you know, he's got talent and he's exciting one for Illinois to have long term.
He's got moxie. He's got poise. He's got really good feet in the pocket. There's some times where he's getting too much pressure. He takes his eyes off downfield and he's not looking necessarily to throw the ball, but rather just escape. He hasn't had a ton of protection, but he's had one or two throws that he'd want to get back from the other time. But most of his two picks, I believe, were touched by the receivers, right? I
mean, Pat Bryant fumbled one.
Pat Bryant fumbled one.
And then Isaiah I mean,
That was the jump ball.
Yeah, jump ball late. You got
to. I think he was just trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily knock. I think he's taking care of the football. Obviously, the 72-yard run that he had was remarkable, right? He's got more athleticism and speed. He's accurate, makes all the balls we want him to. You can see was a highly touted recruit. I mean, he makes all the throws that you want him to throw, a catchable ball. We weren't giving him great time, though. Especially on that right offensive tackle, Zai Crystal-Shaw. I feel bad for Zai because I know he hasn't practiced as much as he should have. He just seems a lot more comfortable on the inside at the guard position. Had a good season last year, more of a road grader. And I would say those offensive tackles have to use their feet and lower body more than maybe other linemen. And so we've got to do something to address it. I would say maybe put a tight end by him, maybe put Tip Ryman by him to help him with protection. Maybe chip more. Maybe let's do more max protection, meaning I leave a tight end and two backs in to protect and do more two and one man routes. Now, in order to do that, those are usually play action routes. So we need to have second and short. So we got to have more success on first down. And we've got to get that first down of those drives. Like, I feel like you get in rhythm after that first down. And we haven't been able to get that first down, a lot of three and outs.
What do you think the identity of the offense needs to be? Because it feels like last year we knew exactly what it was going to be. Chase Brown's going to get the football early. He's going to get it often. You're going to play off that with Tommy DeVito in the short and intermediate passing game. This year, it feels like we have no idea what they're doing. Maybe it's a situation, like you said, where they get off to a slow start and they're playing from behind, so they have no choice. But do you think Illinois needs to commit harder to running the football like they did last year? Do you think they need to open it up for Luke Altmaier early and get him going? What do you think the key is?
So great question. I think we need to commit to running the football, but in different ways. I would like to see us early on stretch the perimeter with Isaiah Williams. I'd like to see us run a little option with Altmaier. Not a ton, just one or two times a game, just to mix it in early to give us a ton. I'd like to see some more planned zone read runs for Luke Altmyer. I don't want to run him a ton, but I want to run him early on to get him going. Seems like we run him late when everything breaks down, and he'll have that. But I think, and he can slide, and he didn't have to take necessarily hits, right? So I want to see that. He's our best offensive player. We got to get him more involved in the game. I also want to see us use some of our bigger bodies more. Malik Elzey, I want to see. I want to see Tip Ryman. I think Tip has had opportunities where, man, when he get him the ball, it's been good. So I want to see some of our bigger bodies in that. I'd love to see Caden Fagan get some more reps. I'd love to see Aiden Loffrey with a change of pace in there. So I think we need to attack it from a multitude of angles, right? What I don't think has worked real well is Reggie and McCray up the middle. I mean, it's okay. That can be our main thing, but we've got to mix it up a little bit. I saw that a little bit, I felt like, in the first game with some creative stuff to Isaiah and whatnot. But we've got to do better creatively in the run game. Even Brett would say on our third and short, our fourth and short, we got to figure out who we are and what we want to do, right? And trying to figure out how to get that. And again, it's not just can I run the ball. It's can I run the ball when I want to run the ball, and everybody in the stadium knows I'm running the ball. I think that's the important part.
As you look ahead to Penn State, what challenges will they pose against the Illinois offense in trying to establish the run and be able to also keep Altmyer clean?
First off, I went on record on Big Ten Network last week and said Penn State's the best team in the league. I mean, you look right now at what they're doing. Now, have they played much? No, they haven't played. They play West Virginia and the Delaware Blue Hens, okay? But when you look at a team that is executing early on in the year, I mean, every coach talks about execution early on. And every press conference, they've got a lot to clean up. It's like they're janitors. Got a lot to clean up. Got a lot to clean up. Got a lot to clean up. Okay, great. You got a lot to clean up. Who's executed the highest level out of any Big Ten team? It's got to be Penn State. Look at Drew Aller at quarterback. His ability to throw the football in the pocket. They got weapons on the outside. Two really good backs. I've said this as well. I don't know if it's the white pants or what, but the legs of the Penn State of running backs just are built different, right? I mean, tree trunks. Katron Allen, Nicholas Singleton, but even going back to Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, they were huge. Kajana Carter of Meyer, they were huge. Miles Sanders, they were huge, right? Larry Johnson, they're always these big tree trunk legs, right? And you're like, man, so these guys are built different. They got probably their best offensive line under James Franklin tenure. They got a first-round pick at corner. Nicholas Carter's probably a first-round pick at backer when he wants to go out. He wears the touted number 11 of LeVar Arrington, Navarro Bowman, and Micah Parsons. So, I mean, they've got their tradition. They've got guys at every level. And so I think this is the team to beat in the Big Ten. And they will hang half a hundred on Illinois if Illinois plays defense like they did against Kansas. I promise you this team will do it. They will hang half a hundred if they don't change something. If they don't play better, it's that bad. Guys, they're good. They're that good. I've watched them play. They haven't even played their starters the full time. If they play their starters the full time, watch out. They've got to change things up. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying if they play the way they played against Kansas, that's what will happen. Like the question in the post game to Brett. Hey, if they play like that next week, what will it be like? Probably not good, right? It won't be good. So we have got to get ready for this football team.
What is in
that
the,
was kind of extreme, I know, but
no,
it's the truth.
I mean, you're right. What's in the recipe to be in the game late and to possibly pull that upset?
First off, you got to start fast. We're not going to play catch up with Penn State, right? It's just not going to happen. For you, the Illini fans that are old enough, 1994 Penn State game at Memorial Stadium got up 21-0, and then we let them back into it late. You know, this is like the Kerry Collins, Kajana Carter, Kyle Brady team. Hit me up on the text line if you remember that game. I mean, that was a heartbreaking game. I was 9 years old. First time Penn State came to Memorial Stadium as a member of the Big Ten, right? And so we have some history where we've had some battles with Penn State. That 2001 team was able to win late against them and whatnot. Obviously, we beat them in 9 overtimes. So it's not a team we haven't had historical
beat them here
success.
In 07. That was a ranked team.
Yeah, ranked team as well. Beat them there, you know. I mean, 07 team, of course they beat them. But I'm just kidding. So – this is a team that's not necessarily untouchable. I mean, they've seemed more beatable lately than Michigan and Ohio State to us, right? That's why I'm trying to get a point. So, but for us to win this game, we've got to start fast. We've got to hit Drew Aller. One positive is that Drew Aller is more pro style. He's a decent athlete. He's certainly not Jalen Daniels or Daquan Fenn. Okay, so can we get pressure on the quarterback? Pressure on the quarterback, the number one indicator of turnovers, right? Because he carries the ball the most, he fumbles the most, and he's going to throw interceptions, right? So pressure on the quarterback to create turnovers and winning that turnover battle, right? I also think we got to run for 150 yards or more. And not just Altmyer running for 100. We run for 150 yards more. We win a turnover battle. And what was the first one? I'm all back. But limit big plays. Limit big plays. Mm-hmm. Because they're a big play machine.
And can't play from behind, as you can't said play first. From behind. Yes.
There's a lot of keys to this one, guys.
I would say.
But there's a lot of keys to a lot of things in life, including lending with Iroquois Federal. Talk about our sponsors. The title sponsor, Iroquois Federal. For all your lending needs, call Bob Guido. Call Ryan Lowry. Brenda Crane. Mark McHale. For all your lending needs, business and commercial. They're your one-stop shop located in Savoy and Champaign. And you're going to need insurance. Insurance with IPG and Kyle Lewis. That's my personal insurance agent. Love Kyle. Kyle, former Illinois football manager as well. We went to school together. Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com. Would you email him right now and say, I heard your story, you heard your ad on Jay Layman's show. Give me the Jay Layman rate. You know, you've heard of like those other insurance companies that give me the Rogers rate, give them the Holmes rate. Guys, there is no rate like that. They're bundle and save for everybody, okay? Auto, home, life, you got it. Long Branch Steakhouse, okay? You want to eat? Everybody's got to eat. Go to Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford. We're really grateful for the sponsors of the show, but Here's the deal. We always like when we win. We didn't win last week, guys, so we're jonesing for a win against the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Jay's a pro. We're going to catch a break. Weigh in, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
When we put family first, we create moments that last a lifetime. We pass memories down through generations. But we can all declare, I remember when.
Far side, right. Pat Bryant, touchdown. Isaiah Williams turns upfield, 45, 40.
It's your turn to create these memories. Illinois football season tickets are on sale now for as low as $99 at FightingIllini.com.
Here's your OSF Healthcare Medical Minute.
Hi, I'm JT Barnhart, the president of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. I want to start by just thanking our providers and our staff, our mission partners at the hospital for the great care that they take of our community in providing the services. One of the new offerings that we have coming up in the next couple of months, we've recruited an interventional pain provider who will be able to do some of those injections and procedures to help people who are struggling with long-term pain. In conjunction with that, we have an orthopedic spine surgeon that will work together with the interventional pain provider to really offer a robust spine pain service for the community of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding areas. We have also brought in a brand new open heart surgeon. He is doing a really good job, really helping us expand our heart program to be a more regional heart institute at OSF in Urbana. And so I want to just continue doing the great things that we're doing around our cardiac program to offer a great service for the community.
For more information, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Welcome to Sarah Champaign, where your dream car awaits. With an exquisite selection of top-tier vehicles, impeccable service, and unbeatable prices, they are your ultimate destination for automotive excellence. Experience luxury, performance, and style like never before. Visit today and drive home in the vehicle you've always desired. Sarah Champaign, Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. Your journey towards automotive perfection starts here. Visit them at Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We got Jay Layman for another 15 minutes. Let's soak all of that up. We did have a 6-3-0, said that 94 Penn State team was elite. 12-0, Illinois had them right where they wanted them. But they crumbled in the second half and was a heartbreaking loss.
Oh, it was hard. I mean, I think I cried when I was nine. That was 9 years old. I remember this game, overcast day in November, and man, we started so good in that game and just faltered. It's just a heartbreaking Illini loss for sure.
Reminds me a little bit of your guys' 06 Troy Smith and company come to town. And
yeah.
I was pretty upset as a young Illini fan.
Yeah, well, we were close. Yeah, that Troy Smith team was better than the 07 team, in my opinion. They had Teddy Ginn Jr., uh-huh. and they had Troy Smith and Nick Mangold at center, I believe, who went on to play for years for the Jets. They had some beasts, right?
You guys were in that game.
We were in that game, and they would run. I remember they would run option and then option pass. That was so hard to stop with Troy Smith. And Troy Smith, really, really good college football player. Obviously didn't have a huge NFL career. Maybe before his time in the NFL, really. You think about smaller, more mobile quarterbacks that could throw. I think if he played 10 years later, he probably would have had a better chance to play his game.
On that note, Jay, in terms of the threat of the quarterback to run, which is becoming more and more common, obviously, some Illini fans are hoping that as Illinois sees potentially less dual threat guys, that the defense will start to shore up a little bit. I mean, they didn't see it. Kyle made the point going into the season saying last year, really outside of Brennan Armstrong, who didn't have half a second to throw last year, they didn't see very many true dual threat type of guys. How much would you put into that in terms of evaluating what Illinois' defense has done so far? And is that something that could play out that way, or is that not really an excuse?
Listen, we all want to lean toward the optimistic side. Yeah. So we're saying, hey, if it wasn't a mobile quarterback, it would be this, right?
Right.
I think whether they had mobile quarterbacks or not, maybe a better thrower or so, we could be 0-2.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we could.
If
Tim could make throws, we might be in real trouble, right, with that secondary, the way it's been playing, well, the way it played against Kansas, right? And so I don't know. Drew Aller's going to be a great test. He can really throw the ball. But Drew Aller's also semi-athletic. He can get away from people, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like he's going to look to run like Jalen Daniels or Daquan Finn did. But we'll see. We need to be better all around. I don't think it's one thing. The mobile quarterback hasn't helped.
I do want to ask you about some other games that went throughout the conference this past weekend. Iowa wins another one in the Cy-Hawk against Iowa State. I mean, that's always going to be a lower scoring, hard, tough in the trenches.
Bet
type
the
of
under,
football
right?
Game. Yeah, bet the under.
Isn't that what Iowa State has been doing for years? They've been betting the under on the Cy-Hawk game. I mean, let's be real.
They've been winning.
Speaking about being under, Brian Ferentz is 6 points short of averaging 25 points a game. Uh-oh. He had 20 last game, 24 the game before. Remember, he's got to average 25 to keep his job. So I don't know if Hawkeye fans are hoping that they just win barely but low scoring games. I mean, and let's not forget this. He also got a pick six that really helped his numbers there. Sebastian Castro, such an Iowa game, right? I mean, a pick six, you have under 250 yards. They have more wins in like the last decade of 250 yard offensive outputs than anybody because they're able to get pick sixes.
What do you think about that team based on what you've seen so far? Is Cade McNamara going to make a big enough difference? You know that they're going to have good tight ends and a good defense.
Right.
What do you think?
I think, here's the thing. I've never thought that Cade McNamara was the savior. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh knew what he was looking at, and J.J. McCarthy even last year beat him out, right? I thought Cade McNamara benefited from a great defense in 2021. He was serviceable, but he never looked like a guy that I thought, I want that guy to go down and win the game for me, right? And I don't think Iowa's had that quarterback for years. I mean, maybe Ricky Stanzi, maybe Drew Tate, Brad Banks going back to their Orange Bowl teams, right? So, I mean, I don't think I've seen a guy there that's been really scares me, right? A lot of Wisconsin quarterback-esque kind of guys, right? Mm-hmm. I think Cade McNamara is like that. They did try to take some shots downfield, not able to connect.
Purdue was one that Illini fans were laughing at after week one. I played a good Fresno State team, but they gave up a bunch of points. But they turned around and were able to go to Blacksburg. Kyle mentioned it during one of the breaks. They had like a 6 or 7 hour weather delay, but they did outlast the Hokies 24-17. What'd you take away from the Boilermakers being able to bounce back?
Listen, I think Purdue's a better football team than Illinois right now. I think Hudson Card's a good. I think it's pretty well documented that Hudson Card was probably the guy they wanted out of the portal over Altmyer. I think Altmyer's worked out great, but I think Hudson Card was one of the more coveted guys. And the reason I think they got him is because they brought in Graham Harrell to do the air raid. I think that's why, being a Texas quarterback, you know, saying, hey, I want to throw the football a lot. I'm concerned about Purdue. They got Deion Burks, who's a legitimate deep threat. They've always got receivers. They always play Illinois tough. Their defense looked much improved against the Hokies, who are not great offensively, but they gave up like 100 yards in the second half. That's it. And were able to kind of jump all over them, took the crowd out of the game because the weather made all the crowd go home. So it really wasn't like a road game. So there's still a lot of questions to be answered, but Ryan Walter is going to get that defense right. I believe that. And I think offensively, they're dangerous.
How about Wisconsin? They lose to Washington State. Me and Pipes both picked them to win the Big Ten West this year. We were buying into Luke Fickell year one, and that may have been a mistake. Is it going to be more of a process than we thought?
Well, here's the thing. It's not, guys, don't blame yourself. First of all, predictions are wrong most of the time. There is Kool-Aid. There is so much talk in the preseason now on sports radio and sports TV that you start to believe these narratives. They're just repeated over and over and over and over again. And Luke Fickell probably the most coveted offseason pickup college coach. I mean, we can argue that, but I would say probably based on taking a group of five to the playoff and coming inches away from, you know, beating, I believe, Georgia in the Peach Bowl the year before, I believe. So he had some, a lot of success in developing players and recruiting. But I said this earlier, just because Matt Rule's at Nebraska, good pickup. And Luke Fickell's at Wisconsin, doesn't mean we just totally wholesale change everything, even with the transfer portal, right? And what I see from Wisconsin is it's kind of tough to shift from let's be run heavy all the time to do air raid. I mean, this doesn't happen overnight. But defensively, they weren't that good against Wazoo. And Wazoo is one of those teams that's always tough to beat in Pullman, and they always win more games than you think they should.
On the note of the Big Ten West, just it seems like a pretty weak division right now. Maybe the last season of the Big Ten West so far looks like the reason why it should be the final season of the Big Ten West.
Yeah, I mean, Northwestern was a surprise, beating UTEP by, you know, 31 or whatever, but it's UTEP, okay? I don't think Northwestern's good. I don't think Nebraska's going to be good this year. These teams can all improve, but I think Minnesota is Minnesota. Iowa is Iowa. Wisconsin's going to not be a 10-win Wisconsin team like we're accustomed to seeing. They're probably 7-8 wins in there. Purdue's the wild card to me. I think they could improve drastically on defense, and I think that Hudson Card gives them a chance. And Illinois is still a wild card to me. Mm-hmm. I know that their crossovers are pretty favorable outside of Penn State. I mean, we have Indiana and Maryland. Maryland, you know, fell asleep for a half against Charlotte. I mean, they weren't great in that game. They got an offense, but we have a chance to make this a 7-8 win team still. They got to fix some stuff, and they got to fix it in a hurry. I'm underwhelmed by the Big Ten West. I don't think there's a lot of good football teams, but I'm also underwhelmed by the Illini, so I don't really know where to go with it.
Nebraska, they weren't the story of that game there in Boulder. Just kind of curious, I want to circle back to the big name kickoff thing, but what do you think of Deion Sanders and that squad? I mean, they were, what, a one-win football team last year, and now they're the story of college football far?
One-win football team. Rick George doesn't even have the money to pay him, supposedly. Brings in Deion, and now they're selling out their stadium. They're 2-0, and they, quite frankly, have had big noon kickoff. This will be the third week in a row they're going to have it. Okay? I mean, that's the hype train. And I think Rick George, I mean, to his credit, I mean, he saw what Mike White did to a place like Illinois, which was largely dormant like Colorado. And in the transfer portal era, Colorado doesn't have a lot of natural native football players there. It's not a huge hotbed. They got to get players traditionally out of California or out of the portal. They've done that, out of the portal, that is. Now, do they have some holes? Yes, Shedeur Sanders got sacked 8 times in that game, right? I don't know how long Shedeur Sanders is going to last getting sacked 8 times. You just can't get sacked. Think about it. You get sacked 8 times in a 10-game stretch. That's 80 sacks. That's 80, a lot of times 80 unprepared hits. Let's say half of them are unprepared. Somebody's going to get hurt. Like they got to be careful. I'm saying it right now. I'm not certain that speaking that over him, but they got to be careful protecting him.
We'll get to your sponsors right after this question, but you touched on it earlier. Big noon kickoff, making the decision not to come to Champaign. to stay in Boulder instead. The fact that they're going there 2 weeks in a row, College Game Day is going to be there, and the timing of it, I get why Illini fans are mad. How mad do you think they should be? I get why Illinois is not a place that national in terms of spotlight, saying, hey, let's go cover this team that probably should be 0-2 and a 2-touchdown underdog to Penn State, but to pull the rug at the very end and to stay in Colorado seems kind of lame, too.
What's interesting is it happened to us. You know, we were told that in 2007 for the Michigan night game that College Game Day was coming to Illinois. And then we lost against Iowa.
Oh, man.
And they changed it, right? Now, the stadium was still lit that night.
It was
a great night. I've never had the electricity of the stadium quite like that night. It was an amazing atmosphere that night. Even the stadium was under construction at that point. But we've had it happen, right? So I think it's disappointing. And Brett kind of mentioned, like, he didn't want people to even know about that until this game week, you know? He didn't want stuff posted about it and whatnot because he knows stuff can change. So I think it's disappointing, but I think you got to use that as a catalyst to say, listen, everybody's giving up on you. Networks are giving up on you. The fans are bad. I even heard Brett say, you know, even the article that you wrote today, I heard the tone in that. So he's listening. He's probably listening to us, you know, on what we're saying. I still believe in Brett and where we're going. I just think that the Kool-Aid was spiked a little bit, and we've got to tamper down our expectations. The reality is he's still building this program, and we see that. It's very evident in the lack of depth in some areas, especially on the offensive line.
Do you expect that we see a desperate, hungry – how do you think this team handles what's been a very disappointing start so far?
I think we're going to find out real quick. But I think there's got to be an emphasis on we got to start faster. We can't beat ourselves with penalties. I think it was 7 for 73 yards or something. The previous game was 10 for 100 yards. We can't just act chippy after the whistle. We got to be chippy in between the whistles, right? And so I think if you clean up those things, I got confidence Luke Altmyer would take care of the football. We create a couple turnovers. Anything can happen, right? But based on our evidence of the first 8 quarters, we don't have a ton of confidence. Mm-hmm. I've got confidence in Brett and his ability to build a program and be a game manager and pull the right strings when he needs to. I think he's absolutely 100% the right guy in the job. He's got to fix some stuff. Like you said, reevaluate things defensively and start faster offensively. It can be a totally different ballgame.
We'd rather do it after a win, but we still love to do it with Jay here on a Monday, breaking it all down. And it's thanks to the great sponsors we need to give one more shout-out to.
Iroquois Federal, call Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry, Mark McHale, Brenda Crane, Insurance Providers Group, Kyle Lewis, my own insurance agent, Kyle at IPGINS.com. Have you emailed him yet? Kyle at IPGINS.com. Ask for the layman rate. You want the layman rate. Kyle at IPGINS.com and then Long Branch Steakhouse for all your steakhouse needs, your appetizer needs, your mac and cheese needs, free ice cream for the kiddos with all your kids' meals. Let's go.
Jay, great stuff as always. We'll see you next Monday. And let's just dream a little dream for a second. How much energy will be in this studio if they do pull off the magic on Saturday?
Let's go.
Thanks, Jay.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll be back, and I believe we'll have Luke Altmyer on the line, the Illini quarterback, to join us. And we're off early for Cardinals baseball, but stick with us. This is The Drive.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less. PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
No matter what, it takes a great team to win. And in Fairbury, Aftershock Decals and Design wins consistently. And it's the all-star team that makes it happen. Do you have what it takes to be a part of this winning team? Aftershock Decals and Designs is recruiting. If you are looking to join this all-star team and you have 2 years of experience in either graphics design or wrap installations,